Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Welcome to Onceable, episode 77, where we are going to talk about season 5, episode 8, Birth, the first of the two-hour special that just aired this past week. We're going to be recording another episode next week to talk about the Bear King because Once Upon a Time is off, and we don't want this episode to be 6 hours because it could be 5 hours just on this one episode. I'm Brittany, and I've been gone for a while because I've been working on Sunday nights, but I'm back for a special occasion. It's fitting that it's a Hook episode, and I am joined today by Karen and Kristen, who just watched the episode, so it's fresh in their minds. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I'm excited to talk about this. So let's jump into it. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Karen.
Definite thumbs up. I loved it. It was excellent. A lot of big twists, a lot of things I didn't see coming, but also extremely tragic. And Once Upon a Time usually doesn't do that to me. It doesn't hit me right in the gut, but it did this time, and I'm a little flabbergasted.
Kristen, what about you?
Definite thumbs up for me. In addition to all of the things that Karen just said, the pun game was strong with this one. So I was like in love with the writing in this episode. Like, it was great. So yeah, it's definitely a thumbs up for me.
I agree with that. I'm a huge fan of puns. But yeah, definite thumbs up for me. I think this season is doing something really awesome, and every episode thus far has been building upon this, and this episode was like, it wasn't a letdown when we finally found out what was going on. So I appreciated that, and nothing felt cheap or like crazy. Even like the random CGI fight scene was good. It was just, everything is just really, really strong this season, I think. But let's talk about our favorite quotes, which are unanimously all from Killian Jones. So Karen, why don't you kick it off?
Okay, well, I just need to give a shout out to my favorite nonverbal moment because, and this kind of segues into my quote anyway, but it's when Killian is chasing after Arthur and Arthur trips over the log and Killian just walks over it, and he walks over it with sass. It was so perfect. Like, he didn't even have to say anything, and he was just so sassy.
We had the same thought at the same time. Like, she goes, Kristen, and I went, I know. I thought the same thing. Like, he just gave it such attitude. I'm like, he was walking. He can now walk with sass. Like, seriously.
And you couldn't even see his face. It was just his feet and his legs, and I was like, oh my god, this is perfect. But anyway, my actual favorite quote was when Arthur says, it seems you brought a hook to a sword fight, and he goes, actually I brought a sword, but I seem to have misplaced it. And it was just, I love him so much.
Yeah, he was on fire this episode. But Kristen, what was your favorite?
Mine is when... It gets me. All right, I'm just going to say it. Hook says, I've had worse cuts itching my nose with the wrong hand. Like, the visual on that is just
It's also,
great.
Like, this beautiful romantic moment. Yeah. Like, he makes, like, a hook joke.
Right? And I'm thinking of, like, all the times when he forgot he didn't have a hand and he goes to itch his nose and it's, like, just gashed across his face. Like, damn it! It just, yeah, it's
and then the
hilarious
visual of him trying to open a Band-Aid with a hook and a regular hand, probably fantastic.
Oh, man.
So my favorite line was also a hook line, and it's when they're all back at Granny's and Henry goes, you punched him? That's awesome. And then Hook goes, gave him my left hook, you know what I mean? And he, like, pokes Henry in the chest with his hook, and I'm like, oh, you guys, stop.
Be cuter, damn it. Just be cuter.
Oh, gosh, they're so great. So My original show notes for this episode, being lazy, was to just put a gif of Hook coming up out of the Dark One vault.
Because let's be real, we could spend an entire hour talking about that, no problem.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, but we're going to get there eventually. We'll actually do some real episode structure here. So the first thing that we get to see is Emma's kind of given this ultimatum where she has to either free her family or and give over the like Promethean spark and the dagger so that Arthur can reunite Excalibur, or everyone dies. So what does she do? Obviously, she wants to free her family. But first, she kind of, like, takes this, like, you know, this break in the wood. She's like, you know what? I'm just going to play with this fire for a little while. Because I really thought Arthur was like, I mean, Merlin was like, hey, you have an hour to show up. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to take my time. I'm going to go out and play with this Promethean spark for a little bit. But yeah, so she kind of goes out and tries to get the spark to turn into a flame. And she's not able to do it, so she's getting frustrated, and I'm not really sure what her end game was with trying to have control of the fire, but she is approached by Henry, who comes over and is like, hey, you clearly need some help. I understand there are some voices in your head, like, what are they telling you to do? And basically Rumple has been telling her, like, the reason you can't light the Promethean spark is because you want to hold on to the darkness as long as possible. And Emma's like, no, I don't. But really, she does. And so Henry's like, okay, here's a little incentive to get you going. And if we get back to Storybrooke, Hook wants to buy you a house so that the two of you can live together. And I'm like, all right. And then that beautiful handwriting in the newspaper was his handwriting. Like, oh, God, what did we think about that? Do we think that Hook was just doing it to give something for Emma to look forward to? Or do you really think that, like, he wants that?
Oh, he wants that. And I don't think he wanted her to know about it just yet. I think that he was a little disappointed when Henry kind of gave up the secret. But my favorite thing about this whole thing was that it was called Operation Light Swan. And I just love the operation names. And I love that Hook and Henry were working together because they are an adorable duo.
That's my favorite part, is that Hook, like, got Henry on his side to have a little side operation. Like, it's just so sweet that he included Henry in all of this crazy, even though, you know, dealing with Emma and all of that is enough. Like, it's just so nice.
Yeah, and he's been doing that kind of the whole time. Like, you know, where everyone is really focused on Emma, and David and Mary Margaret are very, like, tunnel vision focused on Emma. And Regina, too, a little bit. She's kind of like, she's got a lot going on with Zelina and Robin and also Emma. And, like, Killian's kind of the only one who's taken the time to be like, hey, Henry, how are you doing? Are you okay? Like, let's kind of work on something together so you feel included, you know, because it is your mother who is fighting the Dark One. And I really appreciate that storyline, especially because, you know, a lot of these shows focus on, like, the adults in the relationship. Like, we haven't seen Roland in a couple of years. So, you know, who knows what he's doing?
Who knows what he looks like now?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's important what they're doing here is they're, like, keeping Henry involved because he is a big active part of the story. He's the author, first of all, and he's not just, you know, being pushed aside, helping Granny clean out the friars while they're there. Also, locking up grannies, like, what's going to stop anyone in the Enchanted Forest from unlocking grannies?
Well, I loved that throughout half of the scenes in Grannies, there's a Philly cheesesteak poster over their shoulder, and it just kept distracting me. I'm like, Merlin is standing in Grannies, and she's got an advertisement for her Philly cheesesteaks. Like, it was cracking me up. Anyway, go ahead.
No, that's fantastic. I didn't notice that, but I'm going back and watching.
Oh, yeah. It's fabulous.
So then we kind of get to the confrontation in the forest, and all of the members of Emma's family are tied up. There's Regina and Mary Margaret and David and Hook, and Zelina and Arthur and Merlin are there to, you know, face Emma. And so what she does is she's like, you know what, this Operation Light Swan is awesome, but I need to use my dark magic one last time because I need to, you know, set my family free. So she hands over the box supposedly containing the flame to Zelina, but it turns out to be like a trap, and she traps Zelina against a tree, which is nice, even though Zelina looks real good in her all black outfit. But then Arthur, still able to control Merlin, has him kill, like, strangle Mary Margaret with this, like, really slow-moving vine. So Emma and Merlin kind of, they duel, but they both are, like, equally matched, so they kind of, like, cancel each other out. And when Merlin is then attacking Mary Margaret, Emma is able to get inside of Merlin's head in a good way. She's able to be like, listen, you are stronger than any pull towards this darkness. Like, you're freaking Merlin, basically. Stop it. Like, just don't listen to the control of the sword. And he's able to. So what did you guys think of that? Like, do you think that all along the Dark One has the ability to not go with the dagger then?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the point of this whole story, because Merlin and the Dark One were created from the same thing. They have the exact same powers. The difference is how they use them. One gives into the darkness while Merlin constantly fends it off and uses it for good. So if Merlin can say no to the darkness, I think that Emma and everyone prior is able to do that as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, what you brought up, especially about what they're using their magic for. So they're not really, if they're looking to get away from the dagger, they're not going to be giving into a good intention. They're going to be giving into something darker. I thought that was really interesting, especially because it, again, proved something that I know, Karen, you're not too thrilled about, but that Arthur's, like, this awful human being, because he just, like, runs away like a scared little boy. He just, like, drops the sword and leaves, and he takes Zelina with him, though. Okay.
Which, that, I was like, since when has Zelina been anyone's patsy? Like, she is always fighting for herself. And I think in a twisted way, like, she is still looking out for herself, but I was surprised she didn't just leave him there.
Yeah. And she could have probably taken everyone down in, like, one click of her fingers, but I don't know. Maybe she realizes that she needs something greater to help her along, or maybe Arthur knows something that he kind of revealed to her in another time that would convince her to stay with him or something. But yeah, so they leave, and now Emma has the dagger and Excalibur and the flame, or spark. She doesn't have the flame yet. So that's the problem that we're dealing with. But before that, Hook is, like my favorite line, is able to punch out Arthur because he breaks free from the chains. And when he's going to do that, Arthur swings Excalibur and he gets cut on his neck. So he has this, like, it's like a little nick. It doesn't really look that bad. It wasn't really bleeding that much. And Emma heals him. So he got hit by this awesome sword and everything seems to be okay, but it is not.
By the way, when are people going to stop handcuffing him?
Yeah.
Like, do they not get it yet? He has no hand. Yeah. So
I mean, eventually someone will get it, but
like, I mean, Emma kind of did. She used his ankle in the cave. Like, yeah. I mean, Emma kind of got it, but I just thought it was hysterical that they didn't take into account the fact that his hook, you know, like, they just handcuffed him around the pole. It'll be fine. He'll stay. Not worried about it.
And Hook's he just, like, goes with it. He's like, oh, yeah. I'm so stuck. Help me.
Yeah.
So Hook gets, you know, we'll deal with the consequences of his injury later. But now it comes to the part where Emma cannot light the flame. And the reason is because she is still holding on to something to do with the darkness. Now, Regina, who originally had control of the dagger and now Emma does, like, just willingly, because, you know, she has to reunite the stuff. It's not in, like, a Emma stole it type of way. But, you know, she does something a little odd here, and she picks up the dagger and kind of demands that Emma tell her why she's holding on to the darkness. Did you think that this would work, or that it was the best tactic?
Well, I thought it was interesting that when she did it, Emma didn't tell her the truth. Like, it just kind of surprised me that when she first picks it up and starts to try and make her tell her, that Emma resisted enough, was deluded enough to not tell her what it really was. And I was trying to figure out whether that was like willful disobedience on Emma's part, or whether she really just could not admit it, like didn't know herself why exactly she was doing all of it. So I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either if Emma just didn't know, or if she was, like we were saying with Excalibur, like she was able to recognize like where that request was coming from and like kind of shut it down in a way, like, oh, I'm not, yeah. I don't have to give in to that demand, you know? But yeah, I don't think she really knew. And I still don't, like, yes, she was able to overcome it after her conversation with Hook, which we'll flesh out in just a minute. But I still don't think she really, there's no like concrete reason. There's a lot of reasons mixed up in a confusing ball of sadness, but I'm not really sure what the solid reason is. I think it kind of boils down to she's afraid of like expecting too much and being let down in a way, because she's built up these like, you know, romantic relationships for so long and they've all come crashing down before her eyes. So maybe it's just fear of the future and fear of being hopeful. But she kind of lives in a world where, you know, her parents live their lives by hope. So, I don't know. But yeah, the rest of the heroes are kind of like, Regina, seriously, what are you doing? But Regina makes a good point in that scene. And she says, like, the truth is ugly and it's painful and it hurts. And I understand the pull to the darkness. And she really is coming from a place of, like, understanding. She's like, no, I get where she's at and I don't want her to make that one mistake that she then has to work back from, because it's a long road to get everyone to just, you know, be like, hey, Emma, good job back there getting rid of the darkness, even though you killed everyone. So, yeah, so I think that Regina ultimately was coming from a good place, but it just didn't come off that way because she was using a magical object to control her. But then we have the opposite approach. We have Hook, who kind of takes Emma to a log, another sassy log in the woods, and sits her down and is like, what is going on? And this is where Emma tells Hook about, she knows about Operation Light Swan, and he gets a little frustrated with her, and I don't blame him in this scene, because she's like, he's like, oh, so you don't want to build a future with me? And she's like, I don't know. I really only tell people I love them when they're going to die. So, like, you know, if you're not going to die, I don't really know what the point is. Like,
yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what did you guys think of that whole, like, the way she, like, I mean, I can walk my, like, talk myself into a wall a million times a day, but that was just so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Emma opened her mouth and I'm like, what are you even saying right now? Like, does she even know what is coming out of her mouth? Like, I only, you know, I only told you because I thought I, you know, we were going to die and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like I, when Hook kind of got exasperated and was like, I'm over this. Like, seriously, you're telling me this right now. I was like, yeah, absolutely. That is the right, that's the right way to react to what she's saying. Cause I couldn't believe what was coming out of her mouth. At all.
I mean, I understand where she's coming from because she's been through so much in her life and Neil was such a huge part of it and their story is quite tragic. So I get it. But at the same time, like, I would hope by now she's kind of taken that leap And the fact that she's still holding on to her past, even though Hook has fought so hard to be with her this whole time, it is a little frustrating. But I like that Hook did get exasperated and not necessarily hurt, because I don't think she was being malicious by saying that. She wasn't saying, I don't love you, I just said it because I thought you were going to die. You know, she means it and she said as much, but I like that Hook got frustrated and was just like, listen, you kind of have to decide what you want to do because I'm here and I'm waiting for you. So let's do something about this.
Yeah, I think at the core of that conversation, the love was there, but she's having a hard time envisioning what the next step is without, let's say, a giant snow monster coming to kill them, or, you know, Merlin and being taken over by a demonic king. Like, you know, like it's, she's having a hard time recognizing a relationship without crisis, I think, is the problem. Like, she only knows how to exist in crisis. And if that crisis is gone, then what does that mean? Like, what is her role in Storybrooke? Because if the savior doesn't need to save anyone, what is she doing? Like, she's had this other identity for so long, and now it's like, well, if I give up the Dark One identity, what identity am I left with? Do I like Emma Swan? Emma Swan used to steal cars and stuff. So, I don't know. Maybe she's just worried about figuring out who she is outside of those parameters and what that means for Hook in that case. But Hook doesn't seem to mind. He's pretty happy with what he's got going for him. And Emma does eventually come around to the fact that she'd be open to a future with him, and the flame lights up, you know, good job, Emma. And that happens, I saw this on Tumblr, actually, when I was looking for that gif earlier. This is, like, the second time that's happened with Emma and Hook having, like, a really meaningful conversation, and then, like, magic happening when they're in the Dark One's vault, and they need to get back to Storybrooke at the end of season 3. And she's holding the wand and she doesn't know how to make it work because she doesn't trust in her light magic. And then she has like this like very adorable conversation with Hook. And like the when they're done talking, like the wand is lit up. I was like, oh, that's a nice parallel here.
I love those little. No, I love those little things. Like, I love callbacks to stuff like that. And you're right. Like, they do have this little history of being able to do what the, you know, the impossible or what they need when they're not like focusing on it. When they're focusing on each other, you know, things happen. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love it. So Emma now has the flame and she's able to reunite Excalibur and the dagger and everything's going to be fine. But then everything changes when Hook starts bleeding all over the place. So what happens is since Hook got nicked by Excalibur, if he gets nicked by it, it means that he will die if Excalibur changes, I guess. It's like a weird immortality thing where if Excalibur is no longer the Excalibur, then he dies because his life is connected to it. Kind of like how if you drink from, you know, that magic waterfall in Neverland, you're kind of tied to the magic of Neverland. Like, you can't leave without it, you know? So that's how his brother died, and that's a nice parallel to how he'll die, because Once Upon a Time is full of wonderful things like that. So Emma has to make a choice here, and this is, so when this whole season started way back to Comic-Con, everyone kept saying, like, oh, well, Emma, like, has to face her own selfish actions, like, you know, like, but I never really understood what that meant until, yeah, obviously, this episode. And so her two choices are Hook dies, or she removes Merlin from Excalibur and replaces him with Hook being attached to Excalibur. And in order to do that, that would mean that Hook would now be a Dark One. So my question is, I didn't write this in the docs, I just thought of it. Was Merlin converted to a Dark One?
That was my question. Like, he never gave in to the darkness when he first drank from the Holy Grail, like, way back when. He never gave in to the darkness. So Nimue was a Dark One because she gave into it. I never thought he was a Dark One. Like, he may have had the ability to become one, but he was only attached to Excalibur because Arthur needed to control him. I didn't think that turned him into a dark one. I thought he was just, he had magic abilities because of drinking from the Holy Grail, not just, you know, like, not because he was this, like, latent dark one waiting for his potential to, you know, like, I didn't see that coming. So I wasn't sure why they kept, like he was fighting the darkness when Arthur was trying to control him. Yeah, I got that. But I didn't realize that that meant he was actually a dark one.
But could it be because Lena was the one who enchanted the sword using dark magic? And then, like, yes, he was fighting the darkness, but that's kind of like what Emma's doing now. But I don't think that would inherently... I guess it would, because Emma was inherently changed from her light magic when she got, attached to the dagger. So maybe since Zelina's dark magic attached Merlin to Excalibur, he had darkness inherently put in it, like, you know, inside of him, but he fought it. And when she removed Merlin from Excalibur, by the way, spoiler, she chooses to remove Merlin from Excalibur to save Hook. When she removed Merlin from Excalibur, it took that dark magic out of him. But now I'm confused as to whether or not he even has magic, because she says later on, like, oh, Merlin can't help us anymore. Like, he's obsolete. So I'm wondering if he just doesn't have any power at all. Like, I'm not sure what kind of state we left Merlin in. But yeah, I think I'm like, starting to work out where the darkness comes from.
Like, I almost thought his magic was autonomous. Like, it wasn't dependent upon Excalibur. It wasn't like the darkness that we know as the Dark One that was attached to that dagger, and that when... I'm trying to, like, figure it all out. Like, we, as far as we knew, when a Dark One was stabbed with the dagger, the person who did the stabbing... the darkness moved from one to the other. Like, it was attached to the dagger. That's not the case with Excalibur, like, as far as we knew, because Merlin's magic came from another source.
Yeah, but Excalibur is that source.
Ah, that's right.
The only
stupid sword,
I know,
magic. I forgot.
I just thought about that because
I forgot. Thinking, yeah.
Like, well, because Nimue was also able to get the magic from the Grail. So, like, when it was a cup, like, you know, two people had it, but now that it's a cup, I mean, it's not a cup, it's half of Excalibur and the dagger, it's, like, I don't understand why Merlin wouldn't have magic anymore, unless it's just Merlin does have his magic, but the darkness that's attached to Excalibur now belongs to Hook, and Merlin still keeps his magic. I mean, we haven't seen Merlin again yet, and we don't really know what's going on with him, so he could still have magic.
Right, like, Zelina may have, like, assumed that he lost his magic because Hook is now the Dark One.
Yeah.
Attached to Excalibur, but maybe he still does. We don't know. Yeah.
We don't know that sense. Yet. So maybe instead of trying to figure that out, we just figure out, well, we were never going to figure this out, but what the properties of Excalibur are, and, like, what type of magic it took from Merlin to give to Hook. Obviously, it's dark magic. Where that dark magic came from, could it be Zelina? Maybe. Could it have always been kind of inside Merlin? Maybe. I'm not really sure right now, but all we know is that Emma took whatever was inside of Merlin, erased his name from Excalibur, and reassigned Killian Jones to Excalibur, and now he lives on and is reborn in the vault as a second Dark One. And this is when Emma completely changes. She changes into the Dark Swan in Camelot. So this wasn't like when she went back to Storybrooke, she changed her garb. She changed to that in Camelot, which was kind of interesting.
I was surprised that it was so instantaneous.
Yeah. Like, that was the act that just changed everything. But she got a pretty good deal out of that, because she looks fantastic. Like, when Nimue killed that guy, she turned into, like, a green chameleon-looking thing.
Yeah. I actually like Nimue's look more than I do Emma's.
I don't know. I think that bun is, like, really fierce. I love it.
I love her bun. Oh my god, I'm obsessed with her hair. Like, it, yeah, it's a problem.
Yeah, so what do we think about this act? Oh, by the way, when Jen and I got really excited over a spoiler a few weeks ago, it was because we saw an image on Tumblr of the sword with both names on it. And
for 10 weeks,
we've been like, what does it mean?
Interesting.
That sucks that you saw that, though.
It does suck. I was very upset about it. But someone had posted, like, someone reblogged a post of someone who was on location for filming, and they caught a glimpse of the sword in a photo, and they're like, everyone was like, what does this mean? What does it mean? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't, what does it mean? And now I know. But yeah, so anyway, do we think that this was a hugely selfish act on Emma's part? I would like to say yes, but I'm also a huge sucker for their relationship, so I don't really know how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, inherently, yeah, it is selfish, but at the same time, like, what else was she gonna do? She was gonna let the love of her life bleed out in front of her? Of course not. So I don't blame her at all for saving him, because I love Hook, and if they killed him off, I would be very upset, and we would have to talk about our relationship, me and the show, and if that would be continuing any further. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they fix this, because right now, everything is broken. Their relationship and the fact that Killian is kind of dead, I think. I mean, I don't really know what his, like, life status is right now, but it's not good either way. So I think this arc is so interesting, and I'm definitely waiting to see how they bring these two back together.
Yeah, there definitely is some selfishness going on, but I loved the callback that Emma's standing over Hook and they're all yelling at her, telling her she can't do this, and she looks at them and she's like, "And what have you done? Like, what have you done to stay together, Mom and Dad? What have you done, Regina, for Robin and for Daniel back in the day? Like, what were you willing to go to? Why am I supposed to be better than you?" Like, I loved her, like, in that moment, just laying into them. Like, that's totally exactly what I expect from Emma and what I hope they all, like, take into account when they find out about all of this Hook stuff, like, when, you know, when it comes time for them to deal with it. Because it's true, like, there's a lot of lengths that they would have gone to and will go to save each other. Why is what Emma needs to do to save Hook any less?
Yeah, I think that that's fair, especially because, I mean, in retrospect, this worked, but she could have very easily killed both Charming and Snow to save their relationship by splitting their heart in half. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, that could have gone, like, very poorly. And, like, this is also, like, the same type of thing. Like, this could have gone very poorly, but it still might. We were kind of left with a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end here, but yeah, it could go pretty badly. Like, Hook could just, like, lose his mind and just kill everyone. You never know.
This dark Hook thing, man. Just thinking about, ugh, it could go badly.
Yeah, so now that we know, knowing what we know from Camelot, what do we think that this means about Hook's actions since Emma, like, since they woke up in Granny's that day? Like, does it kind of give a little bit more context to how he's been behaving? Like, because he's been kind of, like, you know, shoving people up against walls and kind of, like, yelling at people and just being, like, very proactive. Do we think that that's, like, his love or, like, you know, the kind of a little bit of the dark one acting up?
I think that's Killian. I think that that's just him showing how much he loves Emma. I don't think that's out of character for how he's been for quite a while. He's extremely desperate. I think it's really interesting that he hasn't noticed a huge change in himself. He hasn't been hearing the voices and stuff like that. Like, weird things haven't been going on with him not being able to control magic or something like that. So I don't know why that's not happening. I don't know why he's not seeing more signs of being the Dark One, but I really feel like his actions so far have just been Killian being desperate over saving Emma.
What dawned on me when we like found all of this out is now we know why Hook wasn't the one to pull Excalibur from the stone. Like, we all wondered if she was trying to use Hook to pull it, and, you know, like, all of that, we were wondering why. We know why now. There's no way he could have, or maybe he could have, because his name's on it. I don't know. But, like, you can see some of the reasons why Emma has done things, and, yeah, I think maybe it has kind of colored some of the things that he's done in Storybrooke, but I don't necessarily think any of the, like, physical stuff, like the pushing people up against walls and that sort of stuff. I think he's been more angsty than anything else. Like, he's always kind of, you know, been, he's a pirate, so he's not all, you know, happy, light giggles or whatnot. But, like, his quest to figure out how to save Emma in Storybrooke, he's been very intense about it. Like, everything about the way Hook has been has had some sort of, like, other thing. Like, for me, it's always felt more dramatic than normal Hook. So I think maybe that might have something to do with, like, the Dark One's thing now.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see what Karen was saying, where, because this whole time it was easy, very easy to believe that it was, that's how Killian is. He's very nervous. He's very scared. Like, it was perfectly in line with the way Killian should be behaving. But I also kind of see a little, like, it's maybe pushed a little bit past where Killian ends and the Dark One begins in some of his actions. Like, he's not able... He has a long history of being, like, evil and stuff, so maybe he's not recognizing the feelings as being, like, oh, I have all this magic now, but more, like, oh, I'm just, like, you know, kind of reverting back to some old ways here, and maybe he's, like, actively fighting against those ways, in a sense, instead of returning to, like, you know, his swashbuckling days on the Jolly Roger.
Yeah, I mean, I totally, yeah. I don't think he necessarily would notice it until it's pointed out to him. And yeah. Now it's like, now he'll, you know he's going to know. Now he's going to feel the temptation and be working, you know, against it or with it. You know, now he'll be making that choice. I'm with you. I don't think he would have noticed it because he's dealt with a little bit of darkness for so long.
Yeah, so Hook goes to see Gold in this episode now, and he wants to find some squid ink so that he kind of has some magic to barter with against Emma, because, like we were saying, he doesn't know that he has all this magic within him. But it turns out that Emma already got to Gold's shop and took the squid ink. But do you think that Gold's kind of, like, reverted back to his old self in a way, but do you think that Gold, like, knew, could sense that something was going on with Hook? Or do you think that he thought that he was just, you know, his normal self? Because he's been so far removed from the Dark One now that I don't know if he still has, like, a, you know.
I think he's pretty good at realizing what the Dark One is up to in all of that, but I've seen no indication that he knew Killian was a Dark One.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't sense it, but I was wondering if anyone else did. But basically, Gold tells him, like, hey, make sure, you know, what Emma's doing right now is fueled by regret, and she's trying to atone for something. So if you find out what she's trying to atone for, you know, you'll be able to figure out what's going on. It's not something that you did. It's something that she did. And so Hook kind of, like, goes to the top of a building and is like, well, I guess she'll save me if the Emma I know is still in there. And he, like, jumps off the roof of a building and Emma saves him. And he kind of like falls for her little like, yeah, you know, let's talk. I'll kind of tell you everything. And it's adorable. And she explains the whole, like, you know, house proposal thing and how there's a beautiful view of the ocean. And he appreciates that. And then she shows him the newspaper with his handwriting. And she's like, this is what I'm working towards. And he's still confused. He's like, yeah, but that's great. However, like, why all the destruction? Like, what is your plan here? And she's like, yeah, I can't tell you that. And like, kind of knocks him out and chains him to the in the basement. But then there's this whole other plot that's going on that's part of Emma's plan, where she, like, speeds up Zelina's pregnancy. And Zelina's like, oh, there's some dark magic at work in here. Shouldn't have eaten those onion rings. Now I'm 9 months pregnant, and I'm about to give birth.
That line, by the way, genius. Yeah. When the Dark One offers you onion rings, you shouldn't eat them. Like, I about died. Anyway.
Yeah, so she gives birth. It's a beautiful baby girl, all healthy, you know, everything's good. She's not, like, green or anything. And then Emma shows up, and everyone's like, oh, we got to deal with a kidnapping again of a child. And they're like, she's like, nah, you guys be happy with that girl. I'm going to take this bitch. And she takes Zelina, who, like, literally just had a child, and is like, okay, I'm going to chain you to the basement, too. So now Hook and Zelina are downstairs in Emma's house, and they're like, we have no idea what's going on. What is the point of this? And Emma's like, don't worry. My plan is to remove the darkness from me and you, Hook. Well, she just says darkness because Hook doesn't know yet. My plan is to remove the darkness, put it into Zelina, and, like, you know, shoot her to the moon or something like that. And Hook's like, yeah, but that plan still involves cold-blooded murder, so I'm thinking we can revisit this and come at it a different way. And Emma's like, nah, I think this is the best way. I'll be back in a minute. There are people outside trying to stop me. She goes upstairs. Zelina and Hook are like, yeah, we gotta get out of here. And Hook's like, oh, my hook is magic, remember? And I'm like, no, I don't remember that, but sure, if it needs to be magic in this moment, it's magic. And then he kind of, like, uses his hook to, like, you know, tap her bracelet, and it just comes off. And I'm curious if that was the enchant, like, his hook was actually enchanted, or if he was able to tap into some dark magic, because in that moment, I think Zelina figured it out when he used his hook. I think that's when something clicked for her, and that's why she came back and figured out, like, oh, I think I know what's going on with this whole thing. Or maybe she didn't lose her memories at all. Who knows?
I mean, I definitely think she lost her memories. I think that in that moment, she probably did figure it out, because she could have been out of there when she left, but she realized something big was going on, and she knew to go look for some answers, and she got them. I mean, Hook has enchanted his hook before, so I guess I did just believe it. I don't know if it necessarily would have had the power to take the cuff off or not. I don't know for sure if that was dark magic. It's definitely plausible, but I just don't think there's enough answers there for us to kind of confirm it definitely.
Yeah, I agree. That was just my assumption, because the only reason I thought that was because Zelina came back and, like, she clearly knew something was up, and it's better to, you know, watch Emma suffer because she was about to kill you than, you know, run away from a good scene that was about to happen. So Hook goes upstairs and he's looking for the squid ink. He finds it. He tosses it on Emma. She gets paralyzed. And he starts demanding answers. He's like, enough of this nonsense. Tell me what is going on with you. Like, what is the purpose of this? Like, fill in the one gap that I just don't understand. And that is the whole story about Excalibur. And so he finds out that now he was, you know, reincarnated as a Dark One. And so he is not happy about this. He is very upset, and he is kind of like, he just doesn't understand where Emma's coming from, why she didn't just let him die and get this over with and, like, you know, move on with her life. But at the same time, it's like she has all these feelings. Now he has all these feelings, and there's a lot of feelings. And I'm a little upset because Hook seems to be like, yeah, no, we're this is over. Like, we need to figure something else out. And he, like, leaves with Zelina. And they're going to go against Emma. So now it's Hook against Emma. And I don't like, I don't know how I feel about that. How do you feel about this?
I mean, I quite like the idea of a dark Hook, especially one that doesn't necessarily want the darkness. And he's never been a huge, like, fan of magic. He uses it when he needs to, but, like, it's not his thing. So I do like the idea of it. But, yeah, I'm not a fan either of this whole Hook is pissed and she should have just let him die. Like, of course she's not going to just let him die. He wouldn't just let her die. Like, come on. He would have done anything to save her. We've seen that time and time again. So, like, it was a little frustrating that he was that upset about her trying to save him, especially when she clearly, like, yeah, it would have meant Zelina being murdered, but she had a plan. Like, she was going to fix it. And so, you know, I was a little frustrated by that, but I am definitely interested to see what happens next with all of that crazy.
Especially since Emma's plan was to fix it by removing the darkness from both of them. It's not like they were going to be evil overlords together. Like, she wanted to be good again. She just had to find a way to do it. And let's be real. I mean, now that Rumple's out of the picture, Zelina is, like, the worst of them. So she definitely picked, like, the best target. And as badly as I feel for the kid she just had, Zelina isn't exactly going to be bringing home any, like, best mother awards. I mean, she could surprise us, but considering she got pregnant basically to spite everybody and to just bring up the one person that could possibly love her, which means manipulating this child, Emma could have had a worse plan.
Yeah, and Regina was going to do something about that anyway. I mean, I don't know if she was going to kill her, but she
I don't
was definitely
think so, because Regina seemed a little shocked when she found out Emma's real plan.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I don't think Regina was actually going to kill Zelina, but she was planning on getting rid of her. So Emma, yes, did not have to resort to murder, but at the same time, her intentions seemed fine. She kept Hook in the dark for a reason, because she didn't want him to realize that, like, yeah, I, like, made you into an evil being, and I don't want you to think that, like, oh, now that we both have this power, let's make a plan to go on and rule the world. I want you to understand that I want this gone forever still. Like, that's still my main objective, is to get rid of the darkness. So, yeah, go ahead.
Also, I was going to say, also, does anyone have any idea what the heck was going on with the, she hits the ground with Excalibur and the giant light dome
that kind of went over the house?
Yeah. Like, that is clearly, like, Excalibur now controls both of them, pretty much. And she stabs it into the ground, and there's giant, like, light that covers the house. I thought there's no way that Zelina and Hook are going to be able to leave. Like, I figured this is some sort of, like, protection spell where they're not going to be able to leave and no one's going to be able to come in. Like, that's just the end of it. So Emma can get whatever she needs to finish, you know, get done what she needs to get done. But then Zelina, like, starts to leave. Like, she goes out of the back door, and I'm like, is she going to be able to leave? Like, is that a thing? So then when she came back, I was like, okay, maybe she couldn't escape and that's why she's back. But it makes more sense for her to have figured out what Emma was kind of up to. So I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I really loved the ending of this episode. Not so much that, like, it's going to be, like, you know, Hook versus Emma, but the fact that, like, they're really tying in the mythology that they set up in the beginning of this episode with the dream catchers and, like, where everybody's memories are and, like, how Emma had this plan all along and how you can interpret it, like, 100 different ways until you finally get the answer. And the answer was still shocking, which I found incredible in, you know, the internet age that we live in, where I have to be involved in Once Upon a Time news every minute of every day. And I didn't know that this was coming. I mean, I saw the sword, but like there, like I said, there's a million different possibilities for everything in this show. So I really appreciated this storytelling. We'll have to see if I appreciate the Brave storytelling next week. But yeah, any other thoughts on this darkness business? Are you excited to find out what happens next? We have to wait a while because it's not coming back till the 29th.
I want to know what, like, Dark Hook wears when he's not wearing the giant
cape. Oh, yes.
Like, oh, my God.
I mean, he already wears black leather. So, you know, like, let's amp up the look a little bit here. Come on.
Oh, can you imagine? Oh, that's
more gonna... guy liner.
Always more guy liner. Always.
Oh, that'd be so good. Yeah, no, I want to see that. Karen,
yeah.
You have a funny story to tell.
Oh. Okay, so... Kristen and I, for those that are not aware, are roommates, so we watch the show together. And we got done watching it, like, an hour or so ago. And I was like, okay, this is all well and good, whatever, but Hook is basically dead. How are they going to bring him back? She, like, looks at me, she gives me this funny look, and she points to my shirt. And I look down, and I'm wearing a Disney Hercules Hades shirt.
Yeah, you are.
And I just lost it. I started jumping up and down. I was like, yes, this is how they're going to bring Hades in. But it was so funny because, like, I honestly had no idea. I wasn't fishing for answers or anything. I was like, how are they going to fix this? And then she's just like, Hades? And basically gave me everything I ever wanted.
I think single post that I've written post the mysterious distinguished gentleman casting announcement has mentioned that they're going to the underworld to save Hook's soul, so it's bound to happen, because every like casting thing for the 100th episode I'm like, well yeah, while they're down there, like, you know, they're gonna go and visit Cruella and they're gonna go and see this person in Pan, they're all gonna be in the underworld kicking it with Hades. Like, I think, I don't know if readers are getting pissed off with me, but I mention it in every single post I write.
It's just, you know, we're just that much closer to knowing that. But yeah, like, it makes sense. And we were standing there and I'm like, well, the only way they can do it is, like, we already know they're going to visit the underworld. So clearly that's got to be what happens. And I like, was so excited. I was like, oh, she's wearing the shirt. Yes. So I just pointed at it. It was great. It was a great moment of realization on her face, too, by the way. Like, watching Karen, like, put it together. Like, not only are we going to the underworld to visit Hades, but we're going to save Hook. Let's go!
I would love that so much. so much. Hades aside for now, we have some listener feedback from the Twitter. During the show, there were a couple people who tweeted in about things that were going on. And Karen, do you want to read the first one?
Sure.
I like this one.
This comes from @JosephD14. I found this on Tumblr. Henry's the only one who didn't tell her she shouldn't do this, hence why he didn't fail her. That is interesting.
I know. I thought that was so mind-blowing. Because they're all like...
He believed in Operation Light Swan and...
He wanted it to happen so badly, and the only way it could happen is if Emma saved Hook. And then they're all in the diner, and they're like, Emma, you're an idiot. Let Hook die and bleed out on the floor, even though Granny would have to mop it up. And then Emma's like, no, I'm going to save him. And Henry didn't say anything. I didn't notice it when I was watching it, but that's interesting.
Yeah.
Henry did not fail her.
Aww.
Kristen, do you want to read the next one from Just Jess?
Sure. Just @JJager2002 says, I was not expecting that. #DarkHook, #mindblown. And I think we all basically agree.
Yeah. And then we have Andrea @AndreaPotter2. Well, that was weird. #Zelina. Yeah, that was weird. I think that can apply to any episode Zelina's in.
But yeah, I was going to say, just save that tweet. You can just retweet it later.
I love how Robin was like, but you're only 2 months pregnant. She's like, you think something else is going on right now?
That was so great. But Robin is so happy with his new daughter. Yeah, and then we have one more from Kim Bayman @Kimmy922279. Was anyone else thinking of Harry Potter 4 with that Emma Merlin scene? I guess she's talking about the one where they are firing magic at each other. I'm assuming.
Yeah. I find it interesting, by the way, when they do that sort of thing, that Emma's magic is still, like, white.
Yeah.
It freaks me out every time, because I'm like, is she using light magic or dark magic? So if she's using dark magic, it probably shouldn't be white. Just saying.
Well, I'd like to think in that moment she was using light magic. I mean, she still hadn't been giving into the darkness. And
right.
The thing that popped out of the box was dark. I don't know if that was because that's what the magic was, or if it's because that's just what, whatever it was, like, binding Zelina together was dark.
Yeah. Like, was that
like
that
in color, literally dark.
I was going to say, was that, like, that last bit of dark magic she needed to do? Like, she said, I need, you know, mm-hmm. I need to use this one more time. Maybe that's what she was talking about. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of strange. I was like, which one is it? Question mark.
Yeah, so next week, whatever week, yeah, the week of Thanksgiving, we will be recording our thoughts on The Bear King, which is the episode focusing on Merida and Mulan and Ruby.
Yes.
So we have a nice little reunion coming there. And it'll be interesting to see how those three stories intertwine, find out what Ruby's been up to this whole time, and, you know, who Mulan's been kicking it with. It'll be fun, I think. Plus, you get to meet King Fergus and Queen Eleanor, who, judging by the photos, are freaking brilliantly cast. They look amazing. I'm very excited.
I can't wait till Fergus, because he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited.
So we'll be back to talk about that one, but let us know what you think about this whole Dark Hook thing, because clearly we're very interested in it. But until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye.
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 I like sounded like I was questioning whether or not my name was Brittany. 'll see.
Yeah.
My stepmom just brought me in soup, so I'll edit that out.
No worries.
I was like, this could go badly, and then there was soup at my door. I'm like, it's not going that badly. anyway.